You're on the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate, hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And Shelby, I hope that no one is secretly recording this, because that would be such a brief breach of privacy, and yeah. I would just feel so taken advantage of if a leaked recording of this podcast came out.
I agree. I think things that happen publicly should be allowed to exist privately, and any audio to leak in a recorded audio experience is technically bad for our audiovisual experience that we are promoting.
Yes. Yes, I definitely understood what that meant.
There's no pros to having this leak ahead of it premiering.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Not a single pro. It's all cons. Because I'm, of course, going to listen to the garbled audio of the Summer House reunion and then not watch the real thing.
Yeah. No, the Summer House drama is something I've like tangentially remained aware of, but actually have absolutely no context for what's going down. I know there's a person named West and Sierra, and I think Paige is in Summer House of the Giggly Squad. Is that
yes,
correct?
She was on Summer House.
So I also
don't watch Summer House. But
I will be watching Love Island reunion. Meets Brother Big Brother or something, or is it like a group of friends? Is it like Laguna Beach? You know,
I believe that this is all like this is all probably bad information. But
you brought it up.
I believe the situation is yes. Well, and of course, like since when have we been tied to the facts on this podcast? Never. I believe that how Summer House works is that it's a group of like friends-ish people, you know, like reality TV is, where it's like sometimes they know each other, sometimes they don't, who all have a house in the Hamptons. Because you know how like in the Hamptons you can rent a house together for a summer? And so they live in the city and then they go out to the Hamptons for like weekends all summer long, and you know, you get to see the drama that takes place in this house, which like makes sense as a reality TV show concept, because if you got like your friends and said, okay, we have to spend every weekend together for this summer, like there would inevitably be drama, especially when you're drinking and whatever. So Amanda Batula has been on the show for a while, and she was married to, I believe, another guy on the show, Kyle, who's the DJ. But, you know, it's like they've been on the show for a long time. A couple of seasons ago, Sierra comes in, who I can't remember if she was friends with Amanda before or became friends with Amanda. And it was sort of like a trio, I guess, of Paige DeSorbo, Amanda, and Sierra. And they were like a gal group of friends. Then, and they were on the show for a couple of seasons. Paige left last season, so she's not on the current season that's airing. But like, I think maybe two seasons ago, this guy West came on the show. And West and Sierra started, like, flirting, hooking up, whatever. They were together. Then they broke up. Then they were kind of back together. Just this whole, like, sort of messy on-again, off-again kind of thing. And Sierra and Amanda are good friends, so, you know, they're sort of, like, talking about all of this. And at this time, Amanda is married to Kyle, and that relationship is going poorly, so Sierra is sort of, like, consoling Amanda while she's going through her divorce and stuff. Amanda's consoling Sierra as she's going through this stuff with West. They're, like, you know, best friends trying to figure this stuff out. Yes. So then this current season of Summer House, which is airing right now, was filmed last summer. So that filmed, and I guess over the course of last summer, there was some like, oh, maybe Wes and Sierra are getting back together. They seem like they're on good terms. They're getting closer, blah, 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 blah. At some point in between when that ended filming, which was, you know, like September, I guess, probably, and currently, Amanda started hooking up with Wes behind Sierra's back, and right. they started dating, and they did not tell any of the other cast. In fact, they lied to various members of the cast about it until it eventually came out a couple of weeks ago. Mm. And so Sierra was, you know, blindsided because she was sort of like one of her best friends betrayed her, and it's messy. And then Amanda and Wes, you know, like released these statements. They're basically like, yeah, like, sorry about that. Like, we're together, whatever. Yeah.
Well, what's crazy is they're not even exclusive.
Well, right. Yes. So they're funny. Like seeing each other or whatever. And then people have made all of these things like, oh, you're throwing away your friend for like this weird situationship that you're yeah. in, like this yeah. sort of rebound vibe yeah. that you've got going for you. But because of how Bravo shows film, the reunion is sort of filmed toward the end of the season airing, so yeah. that they can ask the cast questions about, you know, watching the season and sort of the fan reactions and stuff that have happened as the seasons come out. So this past week, the reunion for this season of Summer House, which has Sierra, Amanda, and Wes all on it, was recorded, well, filmed rather, and it's supposed to come out in a couple of weeks. And somebody on set was audio recording pieces of it yeah. and leaked that online yeah. and yeah. then there was all of this hullabaloo where all of the Bravo people were like, how dare you infringe upon our privacy, like, this is terrible, we're gonna find this person and get rid of them. And it's like, well, okay, sure, but this also is drumming up a lot of interest because it's yeah. these sort of like grainy snippets that you're listening to on Twitter. Yeah. I for one, I'm still like gonna watch this reunion, even though I don't even watch the show, because I want to exactly. see what happens.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, is I saw, you know, Sierra's getting positive reaction from the public, but
oh,
I
yeah.
guess Bravo really likes Amanda. And so there was worries that they'd edit the reunion down to kind of save Amanda some face. So it is sort of like interesting what they did choose to leak, which was sort of the confrontation between Amanda and Sierra, where Sierra's like, yeah, maybe I could have gotten over it if it was just like a drunken hookup, but like, you lied to us, like all of this. And she's like, well, because I didn't know, and you should respect that, because I was there when you were like unsure about Wes. And it's like, wait, no, it's a totally different experience now. But yeah, I would say all in all, it seems like a positive thing for Bravo. So it was weird they like cracked down on it so aggressively. That being said, they've since come out with a statement that they know who did it and things have been taken care of and it wasn't anyone in the cast. And appropriate action has been taken. So it's like, I don't know if anyone was fired. It seems like it didn't end up being that big of a deal. They didn't name names. It wasn't any of the castmates, no matter the like sleuthing of the soundboard people were messing with.
I feel like it was probably like a PA or somebody, you yeah. know, like, yeah. like some like day person who is just got hired on to do this gig, because like they're the ones who are would be making any money off of this, you know. Yeah. like if you've been a longtime Bravo producer, you're not throwing away your livelihood to make $500 from TMZ or whatever it is.
Yeah.
No, it is wild.
So yeah, I mean, it's sort of like I watched the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion, even though I never watched the show. So
wait, which one? This most recent one?
No, it was the one. It was the one after the like receipts and timeline.
Oh,
and...
okay, yes, okay, the one with Monica, the season yeah, four reunion. Yeah. Yes,
the one that was like again similarly drummed up as like, oh, finally they're reuniting after all of this off-screen drama, and we're gonna get the full story. And I watched it, even though I like had 20% awareness of what was going on at the time.
The thing that's weird about the Bravo reunions is like, yes, there's a lot of screaming, but there's so much dead air because they're all just sitting on the couch in these quiet rooms and there's not like music really. I don't know. It's a very, it, there's, after you've watched a season where it's like so produced and amped up and you know, it's like the music's playing and the sound bites or whatever, to just watch like these people just sit there and answer questions and kind of talk to each other for 3 hours is always a little bit bizarre. I feel like it's always slightly a letdown, even though they are, they do need to set their moments.
I guess I have been like the Traitors reunion trash, didn't care. Some of the Selling Sunset reunions I do enjoy. Some of the Love is Blind reunions. So it's like, I feel like I sometimes do like the less produced quality of a live reunion show. That being said, I do think Bravo does them better than someone like Nick Lachey.
Netflix? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Andy has it down to a science.
Yeah.
Like, he really is running those things like the Navy, which is crazy to me because he has to keep up with all of these different shows. You know, it's like he has to watch them and know all of the characters and know what they're talking about. And not only know the stuff that happened on the season, but all of this post show lore where someone was tweeting. Well, I mean, yes,
it seems
obviously
like he eats it up. Like, unlike someone like Chris Harrison, who seemed like phoning it in, did not care about the show by the end of it. Mm-hmm. He still seems pretty
engaged. No, he loves it. He's obsessed.
Gossipy.
I am really interested to see how this sort of like impacts Summer House, because people were already sort of getting tired of it. And like with Vanderpump Rules, when their big thing happened, it sort of basically ended the show. And now I guess it's been relaunched.
I literally had never heard of this show before.
You hadn't heard of Summer House?
No.
But did you only watch this past season of The Traitors? Like, Sierra has been on The Traitors.
I guess they just, but there's some shows on The Traitors that I don't like.
Yeah, okay, you're
I don't
not
like
paying
plot.
Attention. Right, yeah. You're like,
and
okay,
I don't like
on,
speak
he's on
out
Bling
to them
Empire.
Be like,
I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not like, well, what is Summer House? Mm-hmm. And then,
yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'd probably heard the phrase, but I never knew what it was or anything.
I'm like, this
about
is
it.
The best thing that could have happened for Sierra's career.
Oh, yeah, like, she's doing great.
We've really got a playbook now of like, if you want to sort of skyrocket yourself out of a reality TV franchise, what you really need to do is date the douchiest person you can find and have them cheat on you. Because like Ariana Maddox, Paige sort of had the same thing happen to her, Sierra, like not exactly the same, but I feel like Gabby Windy kind of like had a shitty bachelor person. Like,
Well, nothing unites an audience like a douche
right.
Who's not worth anyone's time.
It's like she's already got brand deals and stuff. Like, she's gonna be good.
Yeah. Well, did you hear for the first time in White Lotus history, Helena Bonham Carter, who was cast, her character's been phased out due to like what
creative differences.
Creative differences. And Mike White is like actively rewriting the role and wants to cast someone different. They all say it's like no drama, but he's usually pretty like, he's got like a tight vision for these casts, these big ensembles. So it's interesting that she didn't make the cut. They're already in production and they're like, no, never mind. And also, I'm pretty sure she was the one they wanted most. Like, I saw a report that she was the most sought after for season 4. And now it's au revoir, which
is
bad for Helena Bonham Carter.
It is really interesting. The statement that they released, that HBO released, was while filming just under my gosh. With filming just underway on season 4 of The White Lotus, it had become apparent that the character which Mike White created for Helena Bonham Carter did not align once on set. The role has subsequently been rethought, is being rewritten, and will be recast in the coming weeks. HBO, the producers, and Mike White are saddened that they won't get to work with her, but remain ardent fans and very much hope to work with the legendary actress on another project soon. So it is interesting, like, what this could be. I mean, Helena Bonham Carter is like a little bit sort of wacky, I guess, as an actress, but it doesn't, she's not someone who I necessarily think of as being like a difficult person. She's been a lot of things. She's like she's a famous actress, but not like so famous that she, you know, can sort of get away with stuff. And also, like, she's been in plenty of bad projects, so presumably this would have been better than those things.
Right. Yeah, and I think she was supposed to be like a main character, so it's interesting to think of, like, well, yeah, it could just be as simple as, yeah, they decided it didn't work, he wanted something different. But it's also like, well, you're already in production. Like, I feel like if it's anything like major, then you should have caught that before. Like, so are they gonna get someone younger? Is it like a totally different storyline? I don't know. It's interesting to see it happen at this 11th hour.
So I when I was writing a story on the anniversary of V for Vendetta, they were telling me that the main character, that the V character of that, got recast like a couple weeks into shooting. They had one actor and then they swapped him out for Hugo Weaving, and part of that was due to the fact that the actor that they had, like, while he could do stunts, really wasn't good at acting with, like, the mask. Like, he wasn't able to sort of, like, do the sort of, like, bodily things that he needed to in order to get picked up on camera. Like, it just wasn't a skill that he had. So they were like, okay, we need someone who's done, like, mask work and training and stuff like that in order to be able to act in the way that works with this expressionless face. So I wonder if it was some sort of like technical thing, like they needed her to do an accent that she couldn't do, or, you know, like something like that. Because, you know, and also sort of like in sentimental value where she's like, oh, like I'm going to do the Swedish or the Norwegian accent. And they're like, maybe you're just not the right fit for this. I wonder if it was something like that, where especially if her character, I imagine, is it in some sort of actress who is tied into the Cannes film thing, like, or maybe they needed her to speak French and she could, like, I don't know. I'm interested to see. I'm sure that the story will come out, especially once we see the character who ends up you know, on the screen. And it will be interesting also to see who they cast, you know, if like they cast Emma Thompson or something, it's like, oh, okay, so it's a similar-esque vibe. If they, you know, cast
McKenna Grace, Chase
Suey Wonders or whatever, it's like, huh, okay, interesting. This cast is massive again, and I really think that part of the problem with the last season was that there was too many people in it. So I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit skeptical. Do you feel like
Mike White, he got too distracted on Survivor 2.0, right?
Yes, although he got voted out pretty early, I think.
I heard,
It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, other big news. Zoe Kravitz might be in her third engagement of the decade.
I saw this and that her and Harry Styles had been dating 8 months. And I was like, wait, I swear I just seen this story about her getting engaged to somebody. Because she was engaged to Channing Tatum. Who else was she engaged to?
Well, so she got engaged and married Carl Glessman in 2019. They got divorced in 2020. He's an actor. Okay. And then she got engaged to Channing Tatum in 2023. And they broke up, I guess, in 2024, right? When did her movie come out? Or was that? Yeah, because that wasn't 2025. Blink Twice.
No, I think that was 2024.
Yeah. So they broke up in 2024. And so then,
October 2024, it was reported that they split. Also, apparently, she at one point, she had dated Ezra Miller and also Penn Badgley. So she's really been working her way through the...
Around. Harry Styles been dabbling in the dating scene. He's yet to be engaged, but supposedly they were spotted, you know, together. And then she just happened to be wearing the largest ring I've ever seen on a woman, and clearly an engagement ring on the engagement finger. And I don't know. It's like not been verified by their teams or by like a reputable like magazine, like People. It was Page Six who broke the news, and the quote was so random. The source said of Styles, "He is completely smitten. He would jump off of a cliff for her."
Deranged.
So random. Such like a high school version of love. So we'll see. We'll see if it lasts. It kind of has that Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande, WTF energy.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know if they'll make it, but supposedly they're like super in love.
Also, I'm like now looking at his dating relationship history. And it's like Taylor Swift. Then he dated Kendall Jenner for 3 years, apparently. Then he was in a relationship with a model named Camille Rowe. Then there was the Olivia Wilde situation, that was during the Don't Worry Darling of it all. Yes, then he dated Taylor Russell, and they broke up in May of 2024. And then, I guess, yeah, starting in August of last year, he was linked with Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah, so random.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And yet, we're still thinking he might be gay. Nope, he's not.
Do people really think? Like, I've never gotten the vibe.
I don't think that people like you and I think he's gay.
Yeah.
I think, like, my dad would be like, what's up with this homo?
You know,
like,
that
kind of energy. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I will say I've never found Harry Styles all that attractive, but him shirtless on in the runner's world spread, I was like, oh,
now you get it. Now you're on board.
He's a runner. Gotcha. Interesting. Also, never forget when he was like butt ass naked, having sex with a man in My Policeman, a movie that nobody saw.
Oh yeah! Oh my gosh! I forgot.
During his brief stint as an actor.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I think that he did not like the fact that people sort of didn't really care for him, and then he has retreated from that.
Yeah.
Because remember, he was supposed to be in a Marvel movie at some point, and that never came to pass, and he hasn't been in any movies since 2022. So
yeah,
I think he's
planning his wedding.
I guess. Speaking of planning weddings, is there any update on the Taylor Swift of it all? I saw an article that was like New York wedding planner picks 6 venues that she thinks Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce could get married at.
Cute.
And I was like, huh, okay. But we don't have any more knowledge on that situation.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Not since last week's update. So I think you'll just have to wait. I don't think our invites are coming, and we just have to accept that
reality. I would like to do a slight amount of speculation this week before we get into next week, which is who do we think is going to A, show up to the Met Gala, and B, have like good outfits, because that is next week, and the theme is, what is the theme?
It's like costumes, isn't it?
Yes, it's costumes. So there's a lot of different ways that this could go, and I feel like an actor would be like, this would be a good one for actors to show up to, but I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it's always the same people. Like, it'll be Beyonce's co-chair, right?
Yes. So this is the first time that she'll be there in like 10 years or something, which makes me wonder if this is not going to be the moment where we finally get the Act 3 reveal.
But she doesn't do cross promotion like that, does she?
No, but she does do like dressing like on theme. Yeah. Like, remember when she showed up to things in sort of like cowboy hats before?
Okay, yeah.
Like,
so she might like do something rock and roll.
Yeah, like I wonder if this might be like she shows up in some sort of rock and roll esque outfit.
Yeah.
And then like the following week announces.
Right.
Or drops a single or whatever.
Well, so yeah, I could see that. I can see Kylie and Timothy walking the carpet. I can see Lewis Hamilton and Kim Kardashian walking the carpet.
Okay. Do we think Taylor will be there?
I don't think so. Wait, did she go recently? No, she hasn't been.
No, I don't think she's been recently. But if she's getting married in New York.
She's getting married.
I think 100 I would like chew a shoe if Anne Hathaway, Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are not all there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll all be there. I mean, I guess the other question is Blake Lively. Is she going to be there? Queen of the Met Gala carpet.
Yeah.
I could see her doing it.
Does she have, like, because, yes, we're in the trial or whatever. I mean, I don't know. The legal things are ongoing.
Yeah.
But she doesn't really, like, there's no reason why she wouldn't be there because she wouldn't really have to do press. She would just walk.
Right. Yeah. And she was co-chair maybe
last
a couple
year?
Of years
No,
now.
Not last year. Yeah, yeah, 2 years ago. Because last year was the dandy. So it was all black men. Coleman Domingo will definitely be there, especially while he's promoting Michael.
Yeah.
Do we think Jafar Jackson will be there?
Yeah, he'll probably bring the monkey. So
Bubbles, the 45-year-old monkey that's still alive.
Yeah, Bubbles will be there. It will turn into a live action primate. And we'll all bear witness to it.
First Monday in May. Shall we get into Love It or Hate It?
Let's do it.
Okay, I would like to talk about Michael some more.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue, please.
I did force myself to go see it. I assume you did not see it.
I did not. Did you sneak in?
You?
Did you get a free screening or did you line the Jackson Estates pockets?
I unfortunately did line the Jackson Estates pockets just because I didn't go to the press screening and then I was going to try to like sneak into it. Unfortunately, the Melania screening that I snuck into had a lot more open seats than the Michael screening.
Oh, really?
So I was concerned about, the Michael has made like a crap ton of money. It's made $217 million already.
Oh my gosh.
Like the people are, there's a whole group of people who are obsessed with Michael Jackson. I do not understand it. It's so bizarre to me.
His music is really good. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. It's just really good.
But like, this is the thing that I think is weird with Michael Jackson. Is his music great? Yes. Like he has so many incredible songs. However, almost all of those songs came out in the 80s or before. Like the last 20 years of his career, he basically was either like not releasing music or was releasing stuff that people didn't really care about that much. And he had all of these legal issues and people were like, oh, he's sleeping in a barometric chamber. He's holding the baby out the window. He's buying bones of dead people. Like he was doing all kinds of strange stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like the staying power of a fandom, like to still be a rabid Michael Jackson fan, like 40 years after the last great Michael Jackson album is wild to me.
But it's like the greatest album ever made. Like, it's like,
I mean, I guess
it's like, I mean, just numbers wise, it's insane to compare him at his peak to anyone of recent history, even his peers.
But,
like, it's like,
it's a couple wild. On one hand, yes, like 1,000%. And also the monoculture was different at that period, like, and the way that news disseminated and musicians as, you know, like icons, like, yes, the 80s was a completely different period than it is today. But like, you know, someone like Katy Perry had an album not, what, 10, 15 years ago that had five number one tracks in a row. And now it's like Katy Perry sort of a joke. Or even someone like, well, okay, but even someone like Kanye West.
No, it's so different because, you know, you and I are not music people. Okay, well, we enjoy a song. But like, people consider Michael Jackson the greatest of all time, not because, oh, he had some hits on the radio, but because of how he redefined pop music.
Right. Yes.
So it's like hard to find a comparison to that. And I think like listening to it, you understand like he's Katy Perry doesn't come close to his songs.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like, I don't understand what the attachment is that's so strong that there could be all of these like pedophilia allegations, all of this weird behavior across all kinds of different things,
yeah.
Like the way he looks, the way he dresses, the things that he's doing. And also given the fact that back in the 80s and 90s, we were even more sort of like closed off society mentally, you know, like now I think there's a lot more willingness to sort of go along with people who are doing kooky things where Michael Jackson is just such an enigma to me. I obviously think his music is great. And if they had done a movie that was like, you know, like a Mamma Mia type thing where it's like, okay, it's a completely different story and it's just Michael Jackson songs in it, I think I could have really gotten on board with that just because the songs are so, you know, vibey. This movie though is so bad and it's so weird because it only covers the first half of his life and then it ends with this title card that says his story continues, but it's like, wait, are we gonna get a Michael 2 that's basically just like lawsuits and songs that aren't as good? I this whole thing is so strange to me.
Well, and it was produced by his estate, which is never a good idea.
No, I mean, we've seen this a million times before with these musical biopics.
Yeah, and reviews are like, they're not even interested in the nuance or the person behind the music. It's very much like a concert film, is what I hear. And obviously, he's like he has huge cultural impact, and legacy can be really complicated, especially in a space where, you know, we over-police people of color who have done wrong, or we don't allow for grace or nuance in some way. So I can see why like people are showing up for this, even if the legacy is one that's hard to fully appreciate or acknowledge or understand. It didn't look good. And I'm not surprised to hear like all the reviews call out its lack of interest in the interiority of Michael Jackson. It just seems like another exploitative move. But how was the nephew? How was the actor?
I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
The singing, I believe, is all like Michael Jackson himself.
Right.
But the dancing I thought was really strong. And he does get Michael Jackson's mannerisms and his sort of like weird voice really well. The thing is, because Michael Jackson had so much plastic surgery, there's all of this makeup that's put on him at different parts with these different noses and skin coloring and wigs. And it is just like, I don't know if you can ever do that and make it not weird. Because Michael Jackson was so strange himself, but obviously that was real. I don't know if you can like manufacture that on somebody else and not have it feel wonky. Like, I think it's already hard to, you know, with like Winston Churchill or Lucille Ball, or, you know, when celebrities are playing a famous person and their looks aren't even quite that distinct. But with Michael Jackson, because it is so strange, and then because it changes so quickly over time, especially when you're watching a film like this where it's going through, you know, the first half of his life, 30 years, it is sort of jarring every time a new face pops on the screen. You're like, oh, okay, we got a different prosthetic nose going on now. I don't know. Yeah, the movie was just so strange. It was so strange. There's a CGI monkey in it, and you're like, why didn't they just use a regular monkey? Like, This feels so strange.
Yeah, I think we need to bring animal actors back. Like, either write them out of your movie or have a real animal, because I'm sick of the CGI pets.
Well, I'm also just like, you cannot tell me that it is less expensive to use a CGI monkey. Like, I don't know how much it costs to have a monkey and a monkey trainer on a set for a day, but it cannot be that much. And I get it if it's something where you need the animal to do a, you know, like if it's the Lion King or something where it's like, oh, it's all animals, or you need the animals to do whatever. It's like, yeah, the monkey's not talking in this. The monkey's not dancing. It's literally a pet monkey. Like, yeah, you could have so easily got a pet monkey somewhere in LA and had it be in the three scenes that it was in this film. And instead, I'm sure they spent thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars on this CGI monkey. Oh, and it doesn't even look good. I'm like, this movie, it's so...
Okay, well, I have a good one. Oh, okay, so Netflix released their big spring ticket, which is Apex, starring Charlize Theron and Taron Egerton.
Yes, Charlize Theron, who they stuck on a billboard up in Times Square to make it look like she was climbing a mountain or whatever.
Yeah, did you get to see that, IRL?
I did not see this.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
No, but the movie is like one of those psychological thriller, serial killer survivor movies where Charlize Theron is in the outback and kind of has a run-in with someone who turns out to be a sadistic hunter. And so they're in this like cat and mouse chase through the Australian wilderness. And honestly, it was a good time. It was exactly what you'd expect. There was enough like action happening that I didn't do my research, but I believe was shot on scene and was the better for it, because it's obviously like a gorgeous environment, but also really remote and scary to imagine these things happening. So it definitely hits like a lot of the same notes as something like, what was it, like White Rapids or whatever, about the family who
I have
like a laundry list of, you know, these sort of survivalist films. Yeah,
you love this vibe.
Yeah, but this one was good. I mean, Charlize Theron is so good in action and she clearly gives it her all, and I think that's why these directors are always like, yeah, I'm going to push her to the brink. Taron Egerton is such a creepy little goblin. Like, honestly, just a horrible, just like give you the creeps immediately. The twists were like fun enough. There's a lot to talk about because, I mean, spoilers, I guess, but he's like a serial killer, but he also ends up, you know, his desire is to eat these victims so that they become a part of him forever. So he has like a little secret cave where he's literally turning them into beef jerky that he then sells to the...
Oh my gosh. Someone should market this. I would have been more likely to watch it. I feel like I was like a rock climbing, like whatever.
Yeah, yeah, no. She has to escape him. I mean, the ending is all kind of like convenient, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's from the director of Everest and Adrift, which is the Shailene Woodley sailing survival film.
I said that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was good. I mean, I think it's sitting exactly where it should. I mean, that being said, I could see this having done well in theaters, just in a different era, because it is like very cinematic, and Charlize Theron is just so gorgeous, like it's just unbelievable. And so I would recommend it. I think it was a good time.
Taron Egerton is such an odd,
it's such a weirdo
figure to me. I feel like, because he was in the Kingsman movies, I think that's the first thing that people saw him in, and it's like he can sing, he was very attractive in those, he's a very talented actor. Then of course he was in the Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic in 2019, which was really well received. And I think at that point in his career I was like, oh wow, like this is a leading man, like this is somebody who's going to be one of our, like, the next stars of our generation, kind of. And then I feel like he's just proceeded to pick very strange projects. He was in the Tetris movie, which you probably didn't see, that went on to Apple. Then he was in Carry On, which we obviously talked about. Yeah. He's been in a couple of weird TV shows that I feel like haven't really gone anywhere. Blackbird and Smoke. And then also, not to sort of like, I don't know, like shame him, but I do think it's sort of strange whatever's going on with his hair and the fact that he like hasn't either got like a hair transplant or just like shaved it. Like I feel like every time I see him, I'm sort of confused as to what's happening.
What's wrong with his hair? He has a receding hairline. What's the problem?
Nothing is the problem. And I am very pro, like, accepting your aging, you know, like, not doing crazy things.
He did shave for this movie, if that helps you want to watch it. Okay. He has a bald little head.
I guess what's just slightly confusing to me is that in the era of, like, stylists and all of that, that he hasn't sort of, like, figured out which direction he's going. You know what I mean? It sort of seems like neither, like, here nor there kind of a vibe.
Like, just in terms of gender affirming care, or you mean acting?
Well, I mean, I guess all of the above. Like, I sort of don't know, like, where is his career going? It sort of feels aimless. He's kind of doing these, like, action-y thriller kind of things.
He's kind of like James McAvoy, like.
I guess. Like, okay. That's going to be a good
route, you know?
And James McAvoy will just show up in the most random projects you've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. So maybe that is like a good comparison. And he
is giving James McAvoy in this. Like, he got super ripped. He's playing a little bit kooky, creepy. There's literally a dance sequence, like, where he's like hyping himself up, dancing. At one point, he's like doing flips butt naked off of a rope swing. And so it was giving like sort of James McAvoy.
And James McAvoy is also similar because I have no idea what is ever going on with his sort of style choices. Where it's like, he's getting really buff and then he's not. Yeah. And then he's shaving his head. Yeah. And then he's got long hair and it's gray. Yeah. And oh no, now it's colored again. Yeah, it is
Brits
like.
I feel like Brits are less concerned with celebrity, you know, being a celebrity stuff. And they're more focused on just acting for that because they love acting.
Yeah it is like also not in the same way, but giving like Nicole Kidman of her just being in like whatever project it seems to come across her desk,
or Olivia Colman, like, you know, it's okay.
Like, maybe we should do a whole podcast on, like, what are these British actors
signing up? Yeah, what's going on here?
Like, you don't need to be taking these roles. Or you could just be thinking about them slightly more. Like, if I almost got an Oscar nominated for Rocket Man, and I was like, I would be picking different things than apparently doing all of these Netflix movies. Although, I guess, I'm sure they're paying him.
Yeah, and it's like, how do you know? How do you know all the time what's going to be Netflix? Like, don't sometimes studios just decide, like, I don't know process.
Sometimes you make an independent film and then Netflix buys it. Yeah. But I don't think that was the case with either of these. Like, I think that Carry On and Apex were like Netflix films, like produced by Netflix.
Well, maybe what should have been a Netflix film? Mother Mary.
Mother Mary. Mother Mary been a Netflix film.
No, it's like, right where it needs to be, I think.
It is an A24 movie through and through. Yeah. And it's finally sort of maybe out in some places. We'll be Shelby has seen it finally. We will be discussing on this week's episode on Thursday. So get excited. And now we have back to back Anne Hathaway weeks, because the next week we'll be discussing
Year. It really is my year.
I'm unemployed, but it is my year somehow or another. We're waiting for the good parts to sort of kick in, but manifesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
It's always my year when I get to podcast with you, Shelby.
Oh my god!
the Michaela Cole to my Anne Hathaway. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we'll be back on Thursday to discuss Mother Mary. See you then. Bye.